momentary lapses of reason.
Radio.
And there's the Blog Talk Radio lady. So I think I have officially started. So let me rephrase. This is Golden Hawk. The show is another reality show. I am super excited to be here, as always, talking with fabulous people about tremendously expanding and heartfelt subjects. And please accept my apologies. I'm not quite used to how this whole Blog Talk Radio intro thing starts. So who cares? We've got 1 hour and 59 minutes left. Goldie will get it right by week 11. So I want to take care of a few things tonight. I want to I haven't been taken care of. First of all, I want the listeners to know that my go-to girl in the chat room, AWT Travel, she is, imagine this, a travel agent. And she's not only a travel agent, she's a fabulous travel agent. So the reason why I am speaking about this is because I want people to know that everything that we talk about, whether, you know, some of my guests are literally from all over the country as well as the world, if there's ever anything that we're promoting, a workshop or a site, you know, like we might be talking about the chambers, we might be talking about Sedona, Arizona, whatever it is that we're talking about, if you need a travel agent, you can literally talk to Trish right online, and she'll give you some information, and she would be happy to get your trip planned. She is an amazing travel agent. She finds some incredible deals. So I want everybody to know that awttravelonline.com, that's her website, and I'm personally eternally grateful that that Trish is in my life and booking me all over the place. So now that we got that out of the way, I am very excited about my first guest tonight because, first of all, we've never done a show together, so this should. It's always interesting when two people first come together. But I have a feeling me and her are really going to, we're going to click, and the audience is going to feel that connection, because what my first guest has in common with me is a love for children and truly an acknowledgement that children come into this planet to teach us, not necessarily the other way around. Her name is Robin Marvel. She's an author. She's a motivational speaker and life positivity coach. I mean, boy, it's like, you know, Goldie went into optimistic meadow and plucked her from a beautiful garden. Welcome to the show, Robin.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're my pleasure. And I didn't even finish. Okay, your latest book is Awakening Consciousness, A Girl's Guide, and it's, okay, well, first let's introduce Robin because, okay, Robin, how did you get to be, first of all, marvelous?
Wonderful. Actually, I was lucky enough to have four daughters of my own,
okay.
and they pretty much were a huge factor in me writing the books and focusing on encouraging empowerment in children.
Okay.
And so they were, that's really, I guess that's how I got started.
Right, which is, you know, and ultimately, I don't have children of my own yet. It is absolutely a goal in this lifetime still. But it's so clear to me that when you hang out with children, if you hang out with them from the perspective that, you know, essentially, you know, especially like I was taking care of infants and toddlers. I mean, I literally looked at them and said, you're closer to the spiritual life than you are to the physical life because, you know, you've only been on the planet for a couple of months where you would, you know, clearly still have the residue, so to speak, of the non-physical world. And you can feel it from them. Yeah.
Yes, you definitely can when you hold a child close to you, you know, or even if you have a child, like I have a 12-year-old who's very open and very aware and very conscious, I'll say, too.
Oh,
and
wow.
Just being in her, you know, when I'll have an ego moment, you know, and we all have them, you know.
When
I have that, I know just to go with my girls, and even if we just come outside and sit by the river or we just all group together and, you know, come together, then it always cures you. You know what I mean? Like, it helps you. I know
No, that sounds exactly. They are a calming factor when indeed we acknowledge that they're wise masters.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in many a household where the children are still treated like, you know, second-class citizens, so to speak. And
yeah.
I don't think the parents don't do it consciously, but in their unconsciousness, they clearly bring out a more anxious child behaviors.
Definitely. I agree with that. Yep.
Yeah. So,
important respect for your child.
Excuse me?
I said it's important that you have respect for your child.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All living creatures we should respect.
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's like it is clear to me the old paradigm of, you know, children should be heard and not seen and not heard. You know, I mean, doesn't that, I say that and I'm like, it's like this thing in my throat, it's like a furball.
Yeah, definitely. It's crazy, but so many people are like that because they're, you know, they don't know, and they're afraid of their children's power. You know, they're afraid if they let them express who they are and be empowered, then they might take something away from them because that's their, you know, that's their ignorance is the way I think of it.
I absolutely agree. In fact, I believe the children that are on the Ritalins and all the quote unquote lifelong medications that the parents are putting them on, it's because the parents fear of evolution. The parents are slowing down their own children's evolution because they don't want to evolve themselves.
It's so true. And I have a nephew who has actually been termed ADHD or whatever it is.
He's
medicated because the teacher actually told my sister, medicate your child or he can't come back into my class. So it's really, you know, you were talking about that, and it's really sickening to see the extremes of somebody who's outside the box, who does something differently. You know, they want him to conform to what everyone else is doing. Otherwise, you know, it's hard for them. So,
yeah, no, absolutely. Children learn from, they want experiences. They don't want two-dimensional pieces of paper to say this is a tree. They want to go outside and smell a tree, feel a tree, experience a tree, become one with a tree. Because by innate natural abilities, the children born today can do that.
Oh, definitely. Yep.
You know, they're clearly multidimensional. And it's so funny. I have a very good friend of mine. She's 18 now. I met her when she was 7, babysitting for her. I have seen her type, listen to music, talk on the telephone, you know, simultaneously do all of these things and, like, you know, be, like, doing homework at the same time. And I'm like, holy moly. Clearly you are running on 6 cylinders and I'm only running on 1. Because I don't know how she – I can barely run the whole Blog Talk Radio chat room, switchboard, talk – I mean, and she's like, you know, finding the healing remedy to cancer while she listens to tunes and types on Facebook. It's like, holy moly. Yes, it's called multitasking, Trish, exactly.
Yeah, it's amazing at what they're capable of, you know, and it's a new age. You know, like when we were in school, we didn't really learn about the internet wasn't a big thing.
Right.
But now that's basically how kids are learning, and it opens up so many windows.
Well, it is truly, in my personal opinion, it is symbolic of the internet, INNER, this whole idea of instant communication, the whole idea of the world becoming a smaller place, that the internet is symbolic of our abilities to do it without technology. And the kids are born with, you know, a friend of mine goes, it's like they're on HD. You know, they're programmed for HD.
It's true, you know, and that's why I start with kids. And a lot of times people will question me, and I've even had people in the actual metaphysical field say, okay, I'd love to come in and do a workshop, and kids 18 and under are always free because I just want them to come and grow and learn about their energy, and they're so fun. And they'll be like, no, this isn't the place. Kids are not a good place to start. We don't have kids at our events. We don't want kids at our events. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? How do you not want these kids to develop and grow and be strong and empowered because you're scared of it or because it's noisy? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me at all, but, you know, that's their thing.
Well, but your thing is very kid-oriented there, Robin Marvel. So let's talk about the chakra chakra size?
Yes, chakra size your spirit for kids and their grown-ups.
Okay.
Or chakra size your empowered spirit for kids and their grown-ups.
Okay.
And it's actually I have a variety of workshops. I have a business called Marvelous Empowerment, and it encourages all ages to come out and learn there's all different workshops. There's one on Crystallize Your Spirit, which is learning about stones and the healing properties. There's an aroma party where you can learn about aromatherapy and you make an aroma buddy, which is an excerpt from my book. And then there's also the chakra size, which is a set of seven tools, which are seven exercises I call chakra sizes, that really get your chakras open and moving and the good energy flowing. And it really gives kids something real to feel. I do an exercise called Feel Your Energy at the beginning of that workshop, which shows them their energy. You know, I'm like, that is something real that you have. And so they're excited about it and they can feel the difference. I've gotten numerous people have told me how incredibly powerful they feel when they're done doing the chakra sizes. So it's really exciting.
Okay. Is it possible to have maybe an example, or could we do something? I like the idea. I'm always about experiential. I think
everything
should be experiential, because what does that say? Because then people know it from the inside and it's not just, you know, conceptual. So,
Okay, do you want to do the heart chakra?
I would love to do the heart chakra.
Okay. What I have them do is sit in a comfortable position. It can be in a chair, it can be on the grass, wherever you're comfortable at. And then you would put your hands kind of like in a butterfly over your heart chakra.
Butterfly.
And then, one hand over the other type thing.
Okay, not two thumbs together? Because that to me looks like a butterfly.
No.
Okay.
Basically, you would put one hand, I guess you're right, that is a butterfly. One hand palm facing your heart chakra, and then your other palm on top of that palm.
Gotcha. Okay.
So you would do that, and then I would tell them, okay, now envision your heart chakra, which is 2 to 3 inches in diameter, spinning clockwise, and it's radiating a beautiful green light, because that's the frequency color is green of your heart chakra. So you would envision that beautiful green light just pouring through your heart chakra, and you're going to take pieces of that green light, and you're going to hand them out to people that you love. You're going to hand them out to things that you love, people that you love, whatever your passions are, and then you're not going to forget to give a piece to yourself, because self-love is the most important. And so that's a way that I get them to stimulate their heart chakra, and it really gets them thinking about the power that's within that chakra and the love that they can just give away, because so many people are taught, you know, love should be hoarded, you only give it to certain people. But I just want them to see that there's so much love out there, and they can give it to anybody they want, anywhere they want, and there's going to always be more.
Oh, wow, absolutely. Wow, that's a, you know, I often find myself when I'm lying in bed, or, you know, even when I go on my hikes, and, you know, I'll just basically make a spot in the ground and lie down.
Yeah.
I naturally gravitate to, when I need some reassurance in my life, my hands go over my heart.
Definitely.
I mean, because, because what I'm thinking is incredible is that you are teaching our children that indeed it is a self-loving thing to do, to love yourself. It is not selfish. It is soulful to love yourself.
It is, and that a lot of my book is geared towards self-love too, and building confidence, because I was that low self-esteem teenager. You know, I was craving attention all the time, and I know that about myself, and I see myself doing that, and I thought while I was writing this book, I'm like, you know what, I want these little girls or adult women. I mean, I've had adult women who have used the book, and just it's really helped them too.
Because we all have an inner child, so I mean, it's ageless
feeling.
And timeless, yes.
It is, and I just tell people, you know, loving yourself is where to start. If you don't love yourself, you can't give it to other people, you know. So the book really focuses on building a strong foundation so that they can love and be loved and love themselves.
Indeed. I believe that is the frequency of the new consciousness. And by the simple law of attraction that it is my personal opinion that the frequency of the planet is essentially, it's kind of like bumping up. If we're not loving ourselves, it's going to be a very painful existence right now. So children as well as adults, and clearly I went to the same school you did, because, I mean, I was truly a mess when I was, puberty was just like, I mean, it was like my personal war. I was like on the front line, and everything was kicking my butt, man, everything. That's why I was so glad to awaken. So, pardon?
So common. It's so common for girls, you know, especially we live in a very small town, so I watch. I mean, my eyes are open to all of these little girls and these women, too, these adult women, and I'm just like, wow. Wow, I can remember those days, and I'm so glad that now I know.
Yeah.
You know, and I try to help them, and that's the point of the book, to give it. You know, I've got more and more people saying, I wish this was around when I was a child. Well, it doesn't really matter. You can use it now.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter if you're a child or not. You're going to grow from it.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. Yes, because, I mean, it is so clear. What the Diana Ross song, I think it was Diana Ross, what the world needs now is love, sweet love.
Yes.
I mean, I love that song. All my friends, you know, if someday we meet, you'll see that I dress like I'm stuck in the 70s. I'm a hippie like I'm from the
70s.
Great. It really is just who I am. But that song is, like, still to this day. Another song I actually found, I'm sorry, I divert sometimes, but, you know, it keeps it fun. That the Pepsi Cola song from 1971, Let the World Live in Harmony, Have a Coke and a Smile.
Yeah.
It's like I heard that song and went, oh, my God, does that song bring me back to, you know, bell-bottom pants and depression.
Yeah, it's crazy at how many songs out there are now gearing towards loving yourself and growing. Like, I've noticed some of Jason Mraz's songs, you know, those are based on self-love and loving yourself and how you've only got, you know, you've got all that you need, and
absolutely,
really neat.
Absolutely. In fact, the consciousness of the young people who are, you know, in the groups. Of course, you know, I'll go to think of one and won't be able to come up with a name, but you can really hear the new consciousness coming out in the lyrics, because it's no longer "I'll be his man and I'll make him so happy and he'll love me and if he doesn't love me," it's really about, "Hey, this is me. I'm all about the love. If you want me, I'm here, and if you don't, I'm going to mosey on down." You know,
it's definitely
a more confident. In fact, I remember when Barbara Streisand actually said in one of her concerts that there were certain songs she just could not sing anymore because vibrationally it didn't work for her anymore.
That's cool. That's really neat. There is a new band.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
There's a new band called OAR out, and they're of a revolution. And if you watch their videos and listen to the words of their song, they are so powerful. In the videos, there's like these lights that light up that say, "Wake up now." And, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing. I love them.
It is an amazing time to be on the planet right now.
Yeah.
You know,
I
and
agree.
It's so funny because there's so much out there, you know, wonderful sites like yours and the Crimson Circle, and I mean all sorts of places that I find where if you want the positive aspect of what's happening right now, you can find it, you know, because it's like, this is not, you know, it's so funny how the, you know, the doomsayer, the people that say this is doomsday and Armageddon is here and the earth on December 21st, 2012, the world will come to an end. I don't mean to laugh at it, but it just, I find
no,
it to
I
be
laugh
so
too.
I mean, how do you not laugh at that when it's like,
I know.
It's like, you know, it's so amazing how people are, they're petrified of change.
They are. That's the thing. And change is the only constant. But people are so scared of what they don't know. That is what I notice more than anything else in people as I open my eyes bigger and bigger. You know, I see, wow, people are so scared of the tiniest little change. They're scared if something changes in their mind. If their mind shifts and they say, oh, I don't want to do this job anymore. Oh, no. Oh, no. What's going on? There's something wrong with me. You know, somebody fix me. Somebody fix me.
It is exactly right. It is this fix me, and it has to be done with a pill, and it has to be done yesterday because I don't have time to get fixed today.
Yeah, and so they're molding their children. You know, we're the molders of our energy, and our kids are creating and molding their energy too. But instead, the parents are so focused on molding their kids to this point of disaster, and then they're wondering, why is my child pregnant at 15? Why, you know, they wonder those things, but they don't realize the stuff they're putting them through. Instead of helping them to be empowered, they're showing them to be weak. The man is dominant. In my area where I live, the man is dominant. People around here are very scared of an empowered woman, which I consider myself, and I don't mesh well at all, which just finds me. I really don't care. But Some women, they'll change their entire lives because they'll come here and they'll see, oh, the man's dominant. I mean, my husband has 7 brothers and sisters, and every one of his sisters, the man is dominant. You know,
really? Yeah.
Sad. I can't talk with them. I don't vibrate even close to the same level as any of them. And so it's not like I have a real healthy relationship with any of them, or any relationship for that matter.
Right.
But it's amazing to me to watch the things that they go through.
I'm like, right. Well, and, you know, I'm a firm believer. Yeah. There's a saying a friend of mine once said, Joanne will recognize, Daniel Jacobs once had a saying that he said on a session with me. He goes, you'll always know the pioneers by the amount of arrows that are in their back.
That's true. You know?
Yeah, it's like when you're bringing in, it's amazing to me how much people genuinely are afraid of new consciousness. I mean, the consciousness that we are not our bodies. The consciousness that, you know, what's happening now is our masculine and feminine is blending. We're becoming androgynous. You know, it's not about the man being dominant or the female being submissive. It's about we are both. And there are times when you want to have the nurturing side of your feminine, and there's times when you have the power, so to speak, or the strength of the masculine. And the masculine is really about inaction, and the feminine is about receiving. I mean, if you don't receive well, then clearly you don't. Where's your feminine? And if your feminine is out taking a lunch break, well, then you could do all the action in the world, like trying to find a job. You're running around, filling out applications and. Action, 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 pounding the pavement. If you don't get into a space where you're going to receive, all that work will result in nothing manifested.
Right. I agree. And people, I keep saying this, but I speak from experience in my town. We have 384 people in the town that I live in. And it's hilarious.
Boy, don't fart in public there, Robin.
Oh, man, everyone knows everybody, and it's really just like when I wrote my book, I went to my local newspaper, and I said, I want you to do a story. I mean, this is a big deal. You know, there's not very many people around here, and I was excited.
Right.
And he said, and I went in, and he happened to be Buddhist, which was amazing. He did a half a page of the newspaper on my book, but he told me before he printed it, he said, Robin, I'm going to have to word this very carefully, he said, because you are going to stir up so many people.
Right.
He said, they'll be praying for you. And the book's not even controversial.
It's just different.
Like, oh, no, you have tarot cards? Oh, my goodness, close down the town and, quarantine her.
Well,
so
you know what, though? It is really clear to me that there is a shift in consciousness that I do believe that they're uncomfortable around us, but it's no longer, the power of separation being more powerful than the power of the unification, of the blend. So for the first time, in my personal opinion, from what my teachers tell me, in human history, it is energetically, we are supported with the information we're bringing, and that which is not supported anymore is the old belief systems of, just the whole idea that we're not everything.
Yes.
There's nothing we're not.
Right, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, but I get that, it's going to show up in life that we really got to take our little girls, because it's so funny, right now, I work for 2 families nannying, and 2 kids in each family, and both are girls, and the way it worked out is so amazing, because I have a lot of shamanism in me, and one family is from India, so my shamanism and Muslim is very much, I can connect the two, because they're very much that they believe in a power that's, God is everything. It's essentially like a cornerstone belief of being Muslim. So when I start telling them, let's call in the hawk. I mean, the 3 of us are in the driveway, playing with chalk and tricycles and bicycles, and the 3 of us going, hawk, hawk. And 10 minutes later, the hawk shows up, and they're jumping up and down, Goldie, the hawk showed up. And I'm like, well, of course it showed up. You called
That's
it.
That's so great, because you're showing them something of substance, that they have the power. I teach my kids the same thing. I say, you create your reality. You create your day. This is, you can create anything you want. I'll sit them down. I'll say, this, you can be anything you want. Create it. You create it. So remember that when you wake up in a bad mood. It's your choice to have that day. It's your choice. But anything you want, you will bring to you. that I teach them that. So I think that's really great.
I think I and ditto back at you, babe, because the fact that, you know what happens when we know, and this is whether we're children or adults, when we take on the idea or the belief that we're creators, we have just let go of victim consciousness.
Yes.
That's huge.
That's
huge. You can't have, they can't be side by side. And to have our children know that they're creators is, boy, the money they'll save by not having to go to therapy.
You know, that I think that too, and I've mentioned this in other interviews, that the reason why I focus on kids is because I think me, as, you know, us in our 30s, 40s, 50s, however old we are, we're trying to clear out all this garbage that our parents didn't know or didn't teach us or whatever the situation
exactly.
is. But now if we start with our kids and say, this is your energy, you control it, you can clean it, you can feel it, you know, it's here, it's real, love yourself, and then they're gonna be these empowered, strong beings, unstoppable, and we did it because we started with them.
Absolutely.
So where else is there to start?
Absolutely, babe. Positively. Do me a favor, shoot your website out so everybody knows where to find you and your book.
Okay, my website is www.AuraSenseGuide, AuraSenseGuide.com.
Okay.
And then my book is Awakening Consciousness, A Girl's Guide, and Awakening Consciousness, A Boy's Guide is going to be out in June. But
okay.
You can already get the Girl's Guide on Amazon.com or my publisher's website, which is LovingHealing.com, or Barnes & Noble. Pretty much anywhere you can get it.
I think you can actually even get it on the front page of another reality show tonight. Meaning, I have a...
Great. I like that.
I put the SBN number. I don't know what... I think it takes you to your book. I don't know if it takes you to... you can get it from her site, too, is what Trisha said. Yes, yes, yes. So, because I think it's a fabulous, idea, like you said. You know, it's almost like when people talk about rehabilitating prisoners, other people will come in and say, you know, indeed, rehabilitation is important, but why not get them in middle school before they're in high school doing the crimes?
Right.
You know, let's truly empower our children. And the simple empowerment, ironically, what I find is the children empower me to remember that everything I'm telling them they are, they're like, well, we know this. Do you know that you are this as well?
And yes, it's true. Yeah.
It is. It's one of those paradoxes in life. I think I'm teaching them, and they're really teaching me.
That's true. Definitely.
Yeah. So I also want to put the phone number out there. If anybody wants to call in and ask Robin a question about her book, about parenting, about anything, about what size shoe she wears. I really don't care. If you want to call Dr. Robin, 646-929-2084. Give us a shout. I'm keeping an eye on my little switchboard screen, so if I don't see you right away, I will see you. I'm a little schizophrenic today, but it's all good.
Yes, it's all together.
It will be fine. Exactly. Pat myself on the back. Okay, calm down, Goldie. So, wow. Okay, four kids, a marriage, an author. Four daughters. Yeah.
Four daughters. Yes.
There's a lot of estrogen running around your family.
There is, and it's my husband's outnumbered, and he's fine with that.
Well, I would imagine that your husband is very much in touch with his feminine, just to be in balance with all of that. I mean, you clearly sound like
he is. Yeah,
he is. Yeah,
he's
yeah.
really amazing. It's really nice because of all. I have a lot of projects always going on, you know, and I'm always doing something different. And he'll come home from work, and I'll be like, I'm doing this now. And he's like, okay, thumbs up. And actually, what led to everything was my oldest daughter went to public school. She went to public school until like a year and a half ago. And our second daughter was ready to go to kindergarten, and I just could not shake it. With our first daughter, I was like, okay, it's fine. You know, I was fine taking her. Our
right.
second daughter, I could not shake it. So I went in and I told the school, and they were really rude. They were really upset, but whatever. And I said, well, I'll just homeschool her. I'll just homeschool her for kindergarten, then we'll put her in for first grade. Well, she went into first grade, and I was there all the time because she went through the kindergarten syndrome just a year later. And she started the first grade, and I would physically see kids in her class pick up chairs and throw them. It was a total...
Yeah, it's not a good
atmosphere.
Scene. Yeah. Well,
I took her out.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do a magazine. My whole plan was to do a magazine to open people to the bigger picture of life because there's so much out there. So I started this magazine, or Sense Guide. Well, nobody wanted it around here. I tried to push it everywhere. Everyone was like, no. I was printing them at home. It got costly. I was like, okay, well, I guess that's it. And my husband actually said, you need to do a website. And I thought, oh, okay. So I started a website, and the response was phenomenal. Like, I was blown away at how many people out there were really aware and conscious and cared what was on my website and cared what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And so it led into me sitting at the computer one day and looking for something for my girls to empower them, a workbook. I wanted something that they could actually work in and get something from it and teach them about energy and auras and tarot and everything and self-empowerment. And I couldn't find anything. So I turned to them, and I'll never forget the day sitting at my computer, and I said, you know what, I'm going to write a book. I said, this is what I'm going to do. And I contacted a publisher who I was doing book reviews for, because I do book reviews on my sites. People from all over the world send me their books, and I do the reviews. And that way people can go there and find out what they, you know, if that book's good for them,
right,
and what it's
right.
about. So it helps everybody. Well, anyway, so I contacted him and said, this is my idea. And he said, well, can you get it to me this week? I said, absolutely. So I was a writing machine, but it flowed so easily. It was just amazing. It was meant to be.
Now, and the question I have is, the response that you got was from your 350 people town or worldwide?
Oh, no, worldwide. No.
Yeah, okay.
No.
Okay. Well, in other words, like, you were thinking, you know, town first, and then clearly Spirit said, no, think bigger.
Definitely. And I'm always thinking big, and that's what my mom will tell me. You think big. I'm like, is there any other way?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I am finding that it's becoming painful for me when I think small.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and when I say painful, I mean, it literally, if I'm in the box, I just start kicking, you know, kind of like a
right.
tantrum. And, but what's interesting is, as I think bigger, because it's so funny, right now, just recently I changed my my desktop to one of these pictures from the Hubble, which is like, it's got these amazing colors, and, you know, it's clearly a universe picture. And I find myself just staring at it going, yeah, that's about right.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, I just have to think big, but it's not even necessarily per se, I don't necessarily, and I honor you, I don't market myself like that. It's just my whole beingness is becoming comfortable in that it's, you know, this is a cosmos out there that I'm acclimating to. This, I can't even explain it. And it's so funny. There's a teacher that I follow, Saint Germain, who says, you know, talk well about yourself. And if people, you know, don't like you for it, well, at least you're your own best friend. You know, who cares if nobody else likes you for it?
That's true. You know, Wayne Dyer always says it's none of your business what other people think of you.
Indeed.
I live by that.
Yeah,
because
we need to kind of, if we're not living examples of our own strength and confidence and beingness, then why would anybody care what we had to say, write, or share? What you know what I mean? Because I'm not here to pontificate. I'm here to, if I speak it, it's because I live it. And if I'm not living it, boy, and it's so interesting because I'll tell you, being on the air, I don't know if you've experienced this with like maybe an article or writing. If I don't live what I've said, I will immediately, within like 24 hours of speaking it on the air, like if I say, oh, yeah, I'm peaceful all the time. This is like early in my career. And like driving home when I used to do shows in Rhode Island, I'd be driving home from the studio and this overwhelming sense of darkness would come over me.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? Don't talk it unless you're willing to walk it.
That's so true, and that's what I teach my girls too. You know, I say, we are what we are. It's not okay. I have tons of parents. I get emails, I get letters that say, my child has these gifts, but I tell them to hide them. What do you do?
No.
I don't want, oh, numerous. You'd be surprised. I don't want my kids to go to school and talk about them being in touch with their spirituality. It's just easier for them. They're going to get ridiculed, and I tell them, are you serious? I tell my girls, you stand with your head held high. I don't care what anyone else thinks. Now, how are you teaching your child to be strong and empowered if you are telling them to hide who they are because it's going to make someone else uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah, well,
too bad.
The first thing I would say to the parents is, and how's that working for you? Because what do you think they got these gifts from? These parents had gifts And their lives are miserable, and the children have the gift, except, like, you know, on steroids, and they're telling them not to be authentic. That just boggles my... Yeah. Very dysfunctional. That's so funny, because it's the new dysfunctional family is the not encouraging or not acknowledging the whole spiritual nature of the children. That's the new dysfunction.
Right, it is. It definitely is.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
So many people, like I was saying earlier, they're so scared of what they don't know. This is just a personal story. I had a friend, my best friend. We went everywhere together. Her daughter was the same age as my second daughter. We were really close. We spent hours and hours and hours and years together. And one day...
Well, that's a lot of hours. Sorry.
One day, there's this Jehovah Witness that comes to my door, and she talks to me, and I listen, because I think she's expressing her views, and that's fine with me. She doesn't push them on me. She's really elderly, and I think, wow, if she feels that powerful to go door to door, then good for her, and I'm fine with listening to it. You know, it does not bother me at all. Well, one day, I made the comment to my friend. I said, oh, well, next time, I'm going to break my tarot cards out and say, well, let me read your tarot. I was... totally joking. And that was it. We are no longer friends. Her daughter's never been here. We completely severed all ties. She lives like two blocks from me. Never spoke to me again. Because except for to call and lecture me about how tarot is the devil's tool and how I'm evil.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I have the cards. You know, so that's just the mentality around here. That was my example.
Yeah,
that.
No. Indeed. Indeed. I honor that you have chosen on some level of consciousness to be the light in such a unconscious space, to be conscious in such
right.
an unconscious space.
That's my purpose. I'm here for that. I am, because there is, once in a while, you do connect with somebody in this area. I had a professor from the next town over, it's like 30 miles, call, and she said she came across my article in the newspaper, ordered my book, and she was going through a divorce, and she was having a really hard time, and she did the activities, and it really helped her. It really... helped her to come into herself, and she just talked to me for an hour and a half. She actually looked my phone number up and called me for an hour and a half, and it was that's fine with me, and I know where I stand. I'm not going to waver from anything that I believe in for nobody. I'm very strong in my convictions.
I can feel it. Robin, you're feisty. I like it. Well, listen, Goldie's feisty, too. I am. Well, because, you know, I actually used to speak about this when I did my show a couple of years ago. The coming out of spirituality is very similar to the coming out of sexuality. You know, I mean, I don't think that, you know, people might not, you know, drag us out to a field and kill us. Like, you know, truly, unfortunately, some people have been treated with the gays and stuff. But they will ostracize us. They will, you know, there's no more, you know, you just don't get invited to the barbecues and the groups that, you know, you truly are, you become, it's like the witches, you know, I mean.
Yes, and I have been called that numerous times.
I have too. And I looked and I was like, yeah, I like that. I mean, I've never been Wiccan or pagan, but I was like, okay. And the funny part about it is, because when I used to live in Buffalo, New York, well, it wasn't actually Buffalo. It was a suburb of Buffalo. But if I said the suburb.
I did a workshop in Blaisdell over there.
Oh, I know. Yep. I know that town. I can't remember the name. Well, put it this way. There's a bar and a church on every corner.
Okay.
And basically, there is a tremendous percentage of the people have never been out of that town. I mean, like.
Oh, you are preaching to the choir, lady. That's this town.
Yeah, it's incredibly, you can almost feel like the earth is this stagnation of energy, you know, it's just, boy, let's mix it up a little, let's plant a new seed somewhere, somehow. And when I went there, I mean, God bless, it worked out for, I wanted to stay for 3 years. By the eighth month, I had run out of money, and the job I was working at, you know, let me go, and
oh, you're in such a negative place. You know, I go through that all the time. And when it's funny, because when I went in and did the newspaper interview, I said to him, I said, when I leave the areas that I live in, I said, my vibration goes up. I can feel it. I can physically feel my vibrations rising as I leave these areas. And I said, and he said, I know. He said, my wife and I go to different places. He said, you come back, and he's like, it's like you're a balloon, and somebody pokes not just pokes a hole, jabs a stick in it, and slowly lets the air out.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think the whole key to that is, I mean, it's really about, we have to go with it. The best thing it can teach us is when the outside doesn't support us, the inside will.
Right.
And that's ultimately what I'm trying to experience to share with everybody anyways. It's like, you know, everything that appears to be the challenges in life are really like the stairs that get us to the evolution of our soul.
Yes, the lessons we're learning.
Exactly.
Because sometimes I
think they're lessons in the beginning, but they quickly become, you know, because once you get the idea that you're a creator, it's not a lesson anymore. Now it's just like choice. You just want to choose. What do you choose to experience? Do you choose to experience abundance? Do you choose to experience lack? And that doesn't mean, and just so we're clear, whenever I say abundance, I can go to a forest and experience abundance because there's clearly an abundant amount of trees. Abundance does not have to be the money in your bank account.
Right.
It's like people are so limited to everything being literally a dollar or amount of dollars. And I really believe that, you know, the dollar is a piece of paper that is a symbol of energy. If you're worshiping a symbol, you're not in the essence. And if you're not in the essence, you got no power.
Right.
So find out what's the symbol, you know, because people are like, well, what's the essence? It's like, well, do you want money so you feel secure? Then focus on security. Focus on safety.
Yeah.
Does abundance make you feel you feel happy? Well, then focus on the abundance of trees or the abundance of grains of sand in your hand. I mean, there's clearly abundance to be experienced. It doesn't have to be the you know, and they're like, well, I want to pay my bills. And it's like, okay, I get that. But how do you feel when you pay your bills? That's the essence, the feeling, and you can get that in much more creative ways than, you know, just that symbolic dollar.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
People way too much focus on that. They need to focus on their happiness from the inside out. And what are we teaching our kids when we're doing that? What is it that you want your child? If you don't want to do it for yourself, look at your child. Look at them growing and think about that teaching them that they own their own happiness. I did not know that. I just recently learned that. I was not aware of the impact of creating my own happiness. I mean, I didn't just learn that, but years ago.
Right.
But I remember when I didn't know that. And
right.
It was pretty amazing when you can realize you hold your own happiness. And that's the same with the child. They do too. You know, they're creators molding their energy. I said that earlier, but I really mean that. And I think that was the focus of the book. I want parents to sit down and do the book with their child, or their child can do it themselves. They don't need the parent, but it's so interactive, and it just really gives the child and the parent a chance to grow within themselves. And then if they want to further pursue something, then go ahead. You know, I teach them about an attitude of gratitude. That's so important, to live thankful for everything. You can't be in a state of gratitude and unhappy at the same time. So teach your child that when they're having a bad day, find something to focus on, like you were saying with abundance, find something to focus on that makes you happy, whether it's an ice cream cone, whether it's, you know, playing ball, whatever, it doesn't matter. Focus on that one thing that brings your frequency up. That's all you need to do.
Right, right. Well, and to be honest, too, I think it's important to teach our children that it's okay to feel all feelings.
Because
I agree that raising our frequency is important, but not denying what we are feeling is also very important. Because there is a world of denial out there that is, I mean, I was watching, I see that you have a question, Trish. I'll be right with you. I was watching this show last night, Clean House or something, the Cleaning House show, and they essentially were going around the country looking for the messiest house on the planet or whatever. And the thing that literally amazed me was this couple was living in, no lie, they were hoarders, but they were living in a garbage pail. The entire house became a garbage pail. And they didn't, you know, when they were going to get rid of, when the crew was like, okay, now you got to sell stuff. That's part of the show, is what they do is they sell it and then they redo their house. the questions they kept asking them were, okay, are you going to let this go? And they were like, no, I can't let this go. And I'm like, you can't let it go. By golly, you're you are literally living in a garbage pail. But you just, like you do, I just notice the level of denial. It's
right.
Like my life is miserable, but they're truly afraid if they let go of something, they're at a loss. And it's like, boy, how about instead of connecting to stuff, you go out and connect to the tree, or go out and connect
right.
to the river, or to the animals, the plants, the things that can actually generate a balance in your being.
I agree with that so much, and that's what I've been teaching my children, that things are just things.
Exactly.
I don't care what it is, they're just things. And so many times material is like the, oh my goodness, it's everything. Everyone's got to have everything the same.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
All the time. And that if
it's
you,
the
you
new
know,
God. It is the
it
new,
is.
It's
it
what
is.
We, and that's where we got in trouble because that's not an essence. That the soul doesn't care if you have lots of stuff or nothing. The soul cares that you're nourishing self.
Right.
And so you can have wonderful toys, whatever they are, whether houses, cars, bikes, whatever, the Wii.
Yes, yes, of course.
but you can't, you cannot not have kindness. If you don't
right.
have kindness, then you're going to have all those toys and still be miserable.
It's true. It's
Robin, I have a question from the chat room. So, or do you want to come on, Trish? Yeah, if you want to unmute.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Actually, I have a couple of questions. My first question is about the books that you have. Are they like a book/workbook kind of thing? So there's, because you keep saying there's activities and stuff to do in them. Is that what
they are? They're workbooks. They're actually workbooks that you can they'll say like there's like a paragraph on energy all around us. It talks about the energy and the birds and the trees and everything. And then there's a big box where you can draw something with energy. There's many, many, many different exercises, but it's definitely like a workbook. It will give you a description, basically tell you about the whatever the project is, and then you can do the project, which is writing, coloring, very interactive.
Is there an age group for the book?
There isn't. You know, when I first wrote it, it was written for young girls, but as it's been out, more and more adults are telling me, oh, I got my colored pencils out and I did it.
Oh,
and you
that's awesome.
And how it's out. And, you know, we forget to play as adults. And the book really gives you an opportunity to connect
absolutely.
With that inner child and grow.
Absolutely.
So it's
that
really
is,
for everybody.
Sounds like a book for me.
Exactly. There you go, Trish. There you go.
Awesome. Awesome. I have been looking through your website, and you have all these different classes and like creating abundance and the chakra size, your empowerment spirit. Are those things like if I say, you know, I got a bunch of people, would you come to my house and do that workshop, or do you do them somewhere and we can come to you?
I would absolutely. This is what I love about Marvelous Empowerment is I am mobile. I am willing to go anywhere and do these workshops for any amount of people. If a family wants, a husband and wife and their two children want me to come in and do a vision board or a chakra size, whatever, I am open to anything. I also do them in stores, and I also am headlining two events, one in Kentucky on the 30th of May, and then one in Michigan in Birch Run on the end of June. So those workshops are for everybody, anywhere, anytime. I'm more than happy to do it for a group. I'm happy to do it for two people, one person. It doesn't matter to me. I just want to get the message out there and help people to expand.
Robin, that rocks.
Sweet.
Now,
that
where
awesome.
Would they get a hold of you if they wanted something for their to do this group thing or to do a workshop? How could they get a hold of you?
They can go to my website and email me. My email is rmarvel@aurasenseguide.com anytime. I'm very consistent with my email.
Okay.
They can also call. That's
okay.
No problem. They can call my phone number and can anytime, and I'm happy to schedule them and work together. And really
should I give out the number you called from? Is that
sure.
the same number?
Yes.
Okay, so that's 231-679-5713.
Can you repeat
yes.
that?
231-679-5713, and that's Robin Marvel, who's
yep.
simply marvelous. I'm so glad you came on the show, Robin.
What was the email again? Robin R. Marvel at?
It's just the R Marvel and then the at AuraSenseGuides.com.
I can hear her writing.
it's all about the universal consciousness. I'm happy to all ages too. I mean, I really encourage children coming out, and I love that, and I love to work with them and really get it going and that, get them going.
Yeah,
awesome. I just think it's awesome.
Yeah, well, Trish homeschools her son, so.
Oh, I am so getting the boy book when it comes out in June. I'm getting both of them. Actually, I might get two of the girl books for me and my daughter. But
I want to know when the androgynous book is coming out.
I'm actually going to have a woman's guide out next year, which is going to be really in-depth for women, but it's going to be really working with yourself, but it's going to be a lot more in-depth than the child one's real simple, you know, so that it's easy for kids to do if they needed to do it on their own. But the boys' guide's really awesome because it's got a lot of Native American and Peruvian
in
it. So it's really masculine in that sense.
Awesome.
You know what? That's so funny. Native American, Peruvian, Golden Hawk. I mean, I resonate with Native American. Peruvian, I worked with a shaman from Peru for 3 years.
Wow.
And I laugh because, Robin, if you ever saw me in person, like I have a friend of mine who... I used to go to church with them, and you know how guys, when they sit, they tend to, you know, like their legs kind of go open, and they're just very unconscious, and they keep their legs open. He used to push me all the time. He'd go, Goldie, shut your legs. And I'd be like, you know what, hey, this is how I sit, this is how I'm, because I can so sense that I was a boy, I think, in many more lifetimes than I was a girl. I don't know why this lifetime I came in as a girl, and I'll own it. I mean, I think it's to experience childbirth. I'm certainly hoping so.
Yes.
But it's so funny the things that, because I want people to know that if you resonate with the masculine, that they should be able to, you know, they would read the boys' guide.
And the boys' guide has great activities. There is a lot of stuff on empowering, because I think, you know, little boys get the shaft a lot. Don't cry, you're a wuss.
Absolutely.
You know. So they need that, too. I touch on that, but I also build on, like, spirit guides and totems and things like that. And girls can do that, too. I mean, my daughters are huge into the totems, and they're all girls. So, you know, it just depends on what you find in the curriculum, I guess.
Exactly. Because I want people to know, go with what you resonate. Because I love that you're addressing the sexism of society. But I would say your books are for everybody, male, female, androgynous, gay, straight. It don't matter.
No, it doesn't. And I'm so excited when I get emails from people who say to me, I have a Facebook, which I love, which people can find me on Facebook, too. I should mention that. Absolutely love Facebook. And people will say, oh, you're crazy. But I'm saying, I have such an awesome network of people that you can just feel the love pouring off the page. When you're reading things, this lady came on there and found me, and she bought my book, and she emailed me, and she said, this is so amazing, thank you so much. And it's just so cool to connect with people like that, because then it feels like, okay, I did this, and I'm making an impact. I don't care if it's on one person or 100. I feel so good to have someone say, yes, this resonated with me. I feel good when I read this book, and it's really cool. So
Robin,
I'm always open to emails.
Kudos. Kudos to you, my friend, because I am right there with you. People always say to me, you know, how many people listen to your show, blah, 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 and I'm like, I don't know, I don't care. I do it because I'm passionate about what I'm doing. I share my guests and myself because if I don't speak and be my passion, I'll get ill.
Right.
I mean, and I highly recommend everyone, man, speak and share your passion, just like Robin's doing. Even if you get ostracized, I mean, clearly there's a broad enough, the internet alone can clearly connect you with people that won't think you're crazy, you know, won't think you as, you know, as the demon incarnate. They'll clearly get that, you know, a resonance of, you know, oh, wow, you're having these experiences too. I'm having these experiences as well. So
it is. It's really great. I love the internet, and I love all my friends on Facebook because they're really... They help me. I wake up in the morning and I read the stuff and I'm like, wow, these people can feel me.
Exactly. I can't believe you said that, because when I Twitter, I get that as well, that people feel me. And it's a very empathic experience. Yes.
Yes. Definitely.
Do you have any closing statements?
My best advice for people that I like to leave with is be limitless. I teach my children to be limitless. I encourage you to be limitless. The only limits you have are the limits you place on yourself, and I am more than happy to receive any help in any way that I can with anybody in any way, because I've been there, and I just love, it's my passion to guide. So
you rock, Robin. Robin,
thank you. You do too.
Thank you. Will you come back on the show? Will you be a regular?
Yes, I would love to.
Excellent.
More than love to.
Because I'll be honest with you, at some point we got to get the kids on. We got to get the kids.
Yes.
If they're open to it, we got to get the kids on.
My daughter Emily actually is 12, and she wrote a page in my book on affirmations. So
excellent. We got it, because I mean, clearly, I enjoyed this thoroughly. I love the conversation. Get your stories together. I definitely want your back. Your energy is beautiful.
Oh,
you're beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, I enjoyed this. I'm glad we connected. Life always helps me find those that I'm supposed to find.
That's
for
right.
My own being.
My purpose, definitely.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yes, you just get a hold of me and I'm
I got you covered, girl. I will be in touch.
Okay, great. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you so much, and have a great Memorial weekend, and we'll be in touch soon. And once again, this is Robin Marvel, and her number is 231-679-5713. Her email address is rmarvel@aurasenseguide.com. Rock and roll. Rock and roll. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
Okay.
I'll talk to you soon, love.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Yay! Wow, she was very, very cool. Now, under the guidance of my go-to girl. Come on back on, Trish. I need to just take a few minutes to transition from one energy to my next guest coming up is Christina Keene, who's going to be channeling Sophia, the goddess Sophia. She is amazing. She's going to be answering questions, so I'm hoping that the switchboard's going to light up and the chat room's going to have, you know, lots of activity. It's funny because when I knew that I was booking Robin and Sophia, they're both very much the children energy and the whole youthfulness, and it's all good. It's all good. But
it is all good.
Yeah, yeah. So she was fabulous.
She was wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely some good information for me and my family.
Indeed.
Absolutely.
Indeed. And the fact that she'll travel anywhere is, hey, God bless.
That's hot. That's cool.
Indeed.
I'm so down on that. Rocking
it. Rocking and rolling. Rolling and rocking. All right, everybody, let's take the seventh inning stretch. Oh, my God. God, Sophia's coming on. Now, I haven't had her on the Blog Talk Radio. Listeners, no, my. Wait till you meet Sophia. She just rocks. She really, she's a lot of fun, good energy. Everybody's already got their energy starting from the heart chakra. I put my hands on my heart right now, and it's like, I'm on
fire
right
now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm very open. So,
why don't you give us a little bit on Christina Sophia?
Okay, well, it will be a little bit. Christina Keene channels Sophia, the goddess Sophia, who is essentially an entity that has a wisdom far, far more expanded than the average human limited wisdom. And I don't know. Nope, she's not here yet. John, are you John Christina's husband? Is that John Jensen?
Yeah, he is on. John Jensen is in the chat room, yes.
Yes, is that Christina's husband? Are you Christina? I know Christina's husband's name is John. Wait a minute, I lost. See, I need switchboards. I need. Oh, there is somebody. Oh no, that's. Oh, Jaybird's on the line. Hi, Jaybird. Check out the website.
Yep.
Learn more about. Okay, John. If Christina's near you, hey, bring her on. We can come on a minute early. It's all good. Because she will give a better explanation. I don't want to not do Sophia. I don't want to not do her justice. but she's a very upbeat entity, very upbeat. So,
awesome.
Yeah. Whew, it is like 90 degrees in my room right now. I mean, it was a warm day, but I am definitely. I hope you put the number up. Yep, please call in. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Christina! I'll do like the Hawks. Christina! If you call me, they will come. Sophia! Hi, Joanne! Thank you so much for being in my chat room, love. And Mom Bubba Mom. And Albert, the Z28 man. And Jay Bird is on the phone. All right, Goldie, you're having power surge. Yes, I believe we call that Kundalini rising.
Kundalini.
I'm extremely warm. Extremely warm. Not just in the chakras. I mean, my feet are warm. Well, I guess actually there's chakras there too. So Joanne, you got to stick around. I want you to do a read with Sophia. Ah, somebody's on the line. Oh, I've seen this number before. Wait a minute. Hi, 111 area code. You're on the line.
Is that me?
Are you 111?
626. It's Christina.
Oh, you showed up as a 111. Christina's here. See, you call them and they will come. How are you, love?
I am great. How are you?
I am flying, my friend. I am flying. Okay, let me introduce you. You know, we got to keep this all professional. Okay, to the best of my abilities, anyways.
Okay,
let me get to second hour. Where is second hour? Goddess Sophia, channel the energy that is received through Christina Keene. Goddess Sophia approaches all subject matter with an intense knowingness that transcends spiritual and religious dogma. This is why we love Goddess Sophia. Welcome to the show, Christina.
Oh, it's so great to be here.
You know I love it when you're here. I love it. I love to be honest, even if we're just on the phone together, I love it when you're here.
We have a ball. It's fabulous.
We really do. So how – I read your newsletter is saying you had some trouble with the internet. I hopefully that's all, you know, up and running smoothly for you guys. And
yeah, we had some bugs, so all my emails have been lost. So if anyone in the world has been trying to contact me, just try again.
There you go.
Sophia sometimes can crash phone lines. She can crash computer lines. She's actually a very big energy, and I've had some problems here and there about systems being able to hold the energy of Sophia. I'm always ready for the unexpected.
Well, but you know what? But your grace, Sophia's graceful, but I really like to note this. Christina Keene is graceful as well.
Well, thank you. You really are.
You're a beautiful embodiment of a beautiful entity, but you are beautiful, Christina.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah, I mean, working with Sophia, you learn a lot, so my life is infused with Sophia wisdom, which helps me walk just a little softer in the world, which is fun.
Indeed. Rock and roll, love. Rock and roll.
Yeah.
So I got some people in the chat room that would love to converse with Sophia.
Okay. I'm ready to go. It just takes me a couple of breaths, and then you'll have Sophia.
Oh, yes! I love you, babe. Thank you.
All right. See you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
All right, good, and hello, Goldie. It is Sophia. So happy to be with you today. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I am full of light, Sophia. Thank you so much for being here.
It is an honor to spend time with one who claims the title Golden Hawk, yes? It is truly an honor that you claim such a beautiful name so that you may soar in the world. So thank you.
Oh, you're exquisite, as always. What I want to suggest to the people in the either listening or in the chat room, Jay, if you want a reading, you should hit the number 1 because you're already a caller that's on. You want to call in the number of 646-929-2084. And if you're calling in to ask a question, hit the number 1 after you get onto Blog Talk Radio, and I will tune into you, and you can talk directly to Sophia. And in the meantime, I would love to ask Sophia a question.
Right ahead, beloved. Ask away.
Okay. Well, the question I have is that many people seem to be falling away from me right now. And intuitively, I feel that it's a beautiful thing that's happening. I'm just wondering if this is a prelude to someone potentially coming into my life.
Good. When we watch things fall away, there are endings, there are closings. So with closings, there are openings. So yes, as we say goodbye to one, typically we make room for another. Mm. So anytime we find friends, family, colleagues, that we are moving away from them, it is because we have completed our mission. We have completed the thing that we decided to exchange, a wisdom exchange, and it is time for us to move on to the next being that will reflect the next newest thing in our world. So, yes, typically with closings, there are openings. So be on the lookout to open new opportunities to meet new people that are going to show you a new level of you. Because that's what you're doing. You're claiming right now, I am changing and I am choosing to have people reflect my new image of myself.
Wow. That's exquisite. The one thing I love about you, Sophia, is you help me remember that which I seem to already know. And I hope you understand that that's taken as a compliment, because that's exactly how I mean it.
Well, it is a reflection. And what most people need in their lives is to know something already and have someone reflect it back to them, reminding them that they know truth. So in general, do I give readings to people? No. I dialogue with people so that we may bring the wisdom that you already know in your bones, that is already playing around in your mind. We clarify that so you have confidence on taking that next step. Does that make sense?
Oh, tremendous sense. Absolutely.
And what we are looking for in guides out there are those that remind us of the truth that we resonate or know already. Now, sometimes as guides we are allowed to reveal new information, but truly it's not new if I am revealing it, because it is already in your field already. It may not be in your conscious mind, but it is playing in your unconscious. So that gives me the permission to give it to you. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yes, and why I caution those who reach too far into the future is that they are sometimes not serving you, because if you know the future too much in advance, you tend to walk away from that future. You move not towards it, but away from it, because it has been revealed, and let us say it's really not for anyone to reveal someone's future, only to give signposts and to ask, do you want to head in that direction? Does that make sense?
That makes sense to me, that you're honoring the journey, not just the destination.
Yes. So anyone that gives you a prediction that says this is set in stone in a year's time, I say to everyone, back away from that and say, well, thank you for that point of view, and I am going to unfold my life in whatever way. If someone tells you you won't meet a man for 1 year, I say bah humbug to that.
I say that too, but I say it a little harsher.
Truly, that person is doing a disservice. Maybe there is a soulmate that will cross your path in a year, yet from now to then, there are many others that might cross your path that you might not notice if you're holding on, waiting for that year mark. So I say to everyone, be careful as you are going out there getting readings that you don't give your power away. Every time we are together, we are going to claim your individual power. So you get off the phone, you get off of the conversation and say, yes, today I know. And that is why you come here to know, right? To be in your knowingness.
Absolutely.
Ah.
Absolutely. So exquisitely said. Yes, you just fire me up, my friend.
Oh, grand. It is the awakening of truth that gets warm. We get warm because we feel truth being ignited. So thank you for the heat reference. Yes, I am a bit fiery.
Yes, you are, and I love it. I love it. Again, if you want to speak with Sophia, please call in. If you're a little, you know, shy and don't want to come on the telephone, if you type a question, I will be happy to read your question over the air for you. So, I'm more than happy to soak up all of Sophia's wisdom based on all of my questions. But she's here for you guys, as am I. So please, you know, come interact with this exquisite being. When's the last time you got to talk directly to a goddess? I'm going to ask my audience. So wait, I have a question. Another question. I'll keep talking, and if somebody else comes in, I'm more than happy to just stop my questions.
And
I'm curious what your wisdom is on. Now this is a little wild. Goldie's a little wild. Immaculate conception.
It is an interesting concept that has been played out to repress sexuality, my friends. Yes.
Okay.
All right. Immaculate conception is something that, if we are going to look back to Jesus, we are going to say he was made the old-fashioned way. Yes?
Yeah.
And that concept is almost suppressing, for if we are divinity, we are sacred and don't need to procreate in some ways. For the church and a whole bunch of religions say that sexuality, as you get higher in your being, you no longer choose that expression. And I say to everyone that is on this earth, you come here, my friends, to enjoy pleasure. Yes?
Yes.
Enjoy the body. So let us forget all of the religious stigmas that are put on sexual engagement. For really, you come here again to experience the vehicle of spirit to its fullness. And one of those expressions is an act of sexuality, of joining, becoming one with another. So I say that concept is something that serves religion well, for there is a lot of rules around how you should engage in sexuality. Is that not correct?
That's what they try to push, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So that idea is to say Jesus was different from all of you. It keeps on promoting that Jesus was different. And if we look back, Jesus' message is, I am the same. We are all sons and daughters of God. I am like you. I just remember who I am. And you are forgotten. So step into remembrance. And you are like me. All masters are going to tell you that you stand next to them, that they are not better than you. They are not more sacred than you. And a lot of the ideas around Jesus holds him on a platform, and I know Jesus very well, and he's kind of mortified, yes?
Yeah, he was just a guy who was on a mission.
Yes, take me off of that pedestal. Take me off of that cross. What a terrible image.
Yeah.
Remember,
yes.
Let us remember the wisdom that I shared. Let us break bread together. Let us remember the miracles that we all have inside of us.
Oh.
That is the message of Jesus.
Woo! Rock and roll, Sophia. Sophia, we have our first caller. Okay. 602, you're on the line. Hello, area code 602? Hello? They went away. Okay. Maybe they have. I think John was saying you guys had some trouble calling in. Maybe there's. God bless Blog Talk Radio. If you want to type questions, again, feel free to type questions, and I'll be happy to share them to Sophia. So, yes, I definitely agree with you that that we are all on the same journey that Jesus is on. I mean, my feelings about the journey is that it's a soul's evolution. We're all going to evolve into mastery and into our God essences.
Exactly. And for many, this is the lifetime. This is the lifetime. All of those light workers out there, you know it in your bones. This is the lifetime that I am choosing to remember that I am sacred. And I do not have to be afraid of saying, I can liken myself with Jesus, that him and I are one. It takes a very strong soul to not quiver by that statement. Oh, God, me and Jesus, no way, too much pressure, right?
Well, you happen to be talking to one of the souls that from 96, I said, you know, if he could do it, then there's no reason that says I can't do it. I just have to figure out why I'm not doing it.
Ah, well, let us say you will do it in your own way. Jesus was a long time ago, my friends. What mastery looks like in a modern setting is very different than an ancient realm. So again, what does healing look like? What does magic look like? What does ascension look like? It is going to be very different. It might not be floating up in the air. It might be the paradigm shift that is coming that you will be a part of. So again, let us not compare and say that your stories have to look alike. Your stories are all going to be different. So stepping into mastery as a modern woman is going to be very different. And that should free you, my friend. It helps you to say, yes, I am going to do it differently than anyone, and my way is the right way, right?
Yeah, rock and roll, sister, rock and roll. As usual, I agree with everything you just stated. We have a caller. Let's see if I can connect. 757, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Okay, would you like to ask Sophia a question?
I would.
Please go ahead.
Hello, beloved. What is your name?
Hi, Sophia. My name is Carol, and I've spoken to you before.
Hello, love. How can I be of service today?
I'm calling because the last time that I talked with you, you and I had a discussion regarding seeing beyond the veil.
Yes.
I wondered if you could clarify for me what you mean when you talk about seeing beyond the veil.
Good. All right. So
okay, I'm just going to mute you so that we get clear, Sophia.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. Thank you, beloved. All right. So seeing beyond the veil. Right now we are in a time where the veil is actually parting. That there will no longer be a separation between the third dimension and the fourth dimension. At the moment, there is still this veil, but it is slowly parting. So what I mean by that is that more and more you are going to have evidence that, let us say, things that are not seen are real. So let us say we are going to get more telepathic in that you are going to start understanding people's thoughts, where you will think a thought and 5 minutes later, maybe 5 seconds later, someone will say the exact thought that you just had in your head, and you will say, was that mine or was that theirs? We are going to start to blur the lines between what we see and hear as real and start to open to the felt sense. So moving beyond the veil has to do with the felt sense and starting to see that simultaneously there are many worlds that align. So if we are going to talk one of the very soon-to-be experiences on the planet is that the veil from third to fourth. Now, the fourth dimension being where our departed, our loved ones, they cross over to. The fourth dimension is where souls hang out when they are still interested on what is going on planet Earth. So seeing through the veil starts with understanding that this world, everyone buckle the seatbelts, okay? Hold on for what I'm about to say. That this world is rather haunted. Uh-oh, how do you feel when I say that, Goldie?
No, I love it.
Ah, woo. Right? Well. So let me explain what I mean by haunted.
Okay.
That yes, there are those experience like souls that are stuck here, but that's not what I am talking about. I am not talking about scary things, things flying across the room, energies that are trying to revenge their death, etc., etc. What I am speaking about is that many who have crossed over are very interested in being guides of their loved ones. So, seeing beyond the veil, you're going to start having experiences of connecting with your great-grandmother who wants to share with you some advice around how to unfold your passions, how to facilitate family matters. So one of the major things about seeing beyond the veil is connecting to loved ones and guides that want to offer support. Now, also what comes along with that is coming into contact with restless souls that are, let's say, stuck here for a little bit. So we say, all right, anything that feels uncomfortable, we just step away from. As we see beyond the veil, we can choose what we make connection to. So number one, sister, I am saying to you that you're going to have mediumistic experiences. Number two, I am saying that you're going to have more telepathic experiences where you're going to start to know thoughts, feelings, emotions of others around you, and you're going to start to have evidence of that. And eventually this all leads to you coming into connection with a high-level guide. Yes, that you, like the channel here, is bringing through myself wisdom. You will connect with a high-level guide that will be a companion on walking and unfolding your truth. So moving beyond the veil is an exciting journey. It just can be scary at times. So we just stay grounded and we trust that which feels good is what you move towards, that which does not, you move away from. Real simple, right?
I would think. Can I ask a question expanding on what you're saying?
Please.
Would also we become more aware of things that might not have, you know, indigestion systems or digestive, like trees and animals and rocks and water? Wouldn't we also kind of tap into the consciousness of those experiences?
Exactly. Thank you for that, beloved. So let us say the one that is called Carol who asks the question, she is very focused on the upper realms, right? So seeing beyond the veil for her is upper frequency. Sister, you are very grounded. You are down by the ground. You play with children that are connected to the earth. So that you are going to have the, let us say in shamanistic terms, the upper realms and the lower realms. You are going to have seeing through the veil from the lower realms, which is getting communication from trees, from animals, from the earth itself, sensing energy or force fields in your vegetables, in your food. So those are the lower realm energies that you are opening to. So we have access to both. It just depends on where people are more comfortable with.
Absolutely, absolutely. And your wisdom to point out the two is absolute truth. Now, I would assume that our beloved ones who have passed on would be considered the higher realms in that they would be you're not going to find them speaking through a tree.
Exactly. So they are speaking from a higher dimension, being a fourth dimension. Yet one of the things I want to share about fourth dimension is that as much as it is a little more enlightened than here, it is not per se the heaven experience where your loved ones are enlightened beings. They have a little more information than they had on this planet. However, we still want to be selective with any information that we get. Let's say your grandmother comes to you, but in life you never listened to your grandmother. You thought her information was bah humbug. You weren't interested in your grandmother's point of view. Well, you might not be so interested on what she has to say on the other side, you
right,
see?
Right.
So it is really to use discernment and say to your family members, I am open to messages that serve my highest good, the family's highest good, and I also have the choice to take or not take that information.
Indeed.
Good. It's about finding your power. Lots of times people make connections with loved ones, and again, they give their power away, yes? Tell me what to do, grandfather, and grandfather lays out a course for you that's based on his point of view, yes?
Absolutely. That's what we were kind of talking about earlier. Even people that go to mediums or channelers looking to be told what to do when it should be confirmation of what you've already decided.
And you can ask questions on which direction do I go, but...
Hello?
Are you still here?
Yeah, something... You blipped, but you're still here, so we're good.
It is about not giving your power away. So you can go to any type of guidance, whether it's mediumship, channeling, wherever. It is about finding your own power. So sometimes you might find that a channel being will say something to you, and I tend to do this sometimes. I will say something to see if you say back to me, oh, Sophia, that doesn't feel right. And I say, bingo, just checking. To make sure that a suggestion I throw out, you're not going to take blindly. You're going to sense it, feel it, and say, no, that does not align with what I know to be true. So guides are always going to facilitate you remembering. And a lot of times we don't, let's say we can play a trick or two, and it's not a trick in a bad way. It is a test to see, are you going to give your power away? And if you do, I will turn around and say, oh, come on, really? Are you going to take that suggestion? It's a very silly suggestion. Why would you take it, right?
Okay, right. So you point it out just to show people when they are giving their power away.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's wise. That's
any
good
guide are going to always point out, any of the higher guides are always going to point out when you give your power away.
Yeah.
So that is why sometimes people hesitate in calling, because a lot of people like to say, tell me what to do. And I am going to say, well, tell me a little bit about your story, and we will discover your path together. So you got to work it out a little bit. And some people like the easy road. There's no such thing as the easy road here. There is the road that is more in ease, but there is no such thing as the easy road.
Ah, Sophia, your words are extremely wise. Okay, I have a question from the chat room that it comes from Galadriel. Galadriel, if you can write me what your first name is, Sophia can have your first name. The question is, Sophia, can you see into the block I'm experiencing with lack of trust and being able to be vulnerable in my relationships and suggest some avenues to clear them out?
Oh, grand. Good. All right. So the trust issue, the first thing I want to say is that there is a major collective energy around trust. People are not trusting your economy. They're not trusting a lot of things these days. Do you feel that?
Absolutely.
So first of all, before we get into is this a major blockage around trust, we have to get rid of collective. So we start with all thoughts, all feelings, all sensations of trust that are not my own. Are we still here?
Yes, there's something going on. Your hand on the... Don't worry about it. Continue. Yep, we're still here.
We return all energies back to sender. So anytime we feel that we have a huge block, most of the time at least 30 to 40% of that is collective. So I'm going to say that again to everyone listening. Anytime we use the language a wall, a huge block,
Hello?
Hello?
Your energy is rock and roll.
I tend to blow systems one time. I will try and tone it back a bit.
Oh, I do love when you're powerful, but right, we can't lose you because that's so much power that it would. Okay, so we're still good. I mean, it's your beingness, it's your sheer essence. We gotta Blog Talk Radio has gotta up there whatever they gotta up, but because God bless you're, I don't know why it's happening, but I love what you're saying about this huge block. It's funny how it's even showing up energetically on the blog. So go ahead.
Good, good. So notice we are having something blocking us. How fun.
Yeah, exactly.
All synchronistic. So again, anytime anyone has a huge block, we are going to say 30 to 40% of it is collective. So first we send it back. And then we connect to the heart. Because what we're really talking about is a heart frequency. And we ask you to go back in time and look at your timeline and see where was your heart hurt originally. And a lot of times it has to do with a family member. It has to do with mother, father, someone that we really wanted to receive love from, that we didn't receive love from, that we created a little bit of a fence around our heart. So go back and see if you can discover where did I desire to experience love and didn't receive it. And then you open up to universal love. So if it was mother, you open up to Gaia. You open up to the universal mother. It was father, you can work with someone like Jesus, like our Father God. We work with the universal energies to receive love in. So anytime we are afraid to move forward in a relationship, what we are asking for is to open our heart so that we may receive universal love. Because once you receive unconditional love, which is available to all of you 24 hours a day, every single minute, unconditional love is available to each and every one of you. The moment you open up your heart to receive that energy, you no longer place that fear that this new person in your life won't give you unconditional love. You trust that whatever love they have to give is what they have to give at that moment. So again, most times the blockages, the vulnerability, the being ourselves, afraid to be who we are, is because we haven't received unconditional love. And you are waiting for that moment where most of us wait for someone else to give it to us, where I say it is in your power today, right now, to see the organ that is your heart, to take down any fences, to smash down any walls, and to open and say, in this now moment, I open myself. And if you want to give it the name, you can use my name, for I am universal energy. I open my heart to Sophia, and I allow her love in. And once you allow love in, then it is easy to be vulnerable because you see that you don't really need another's love. Yes, you don't really need another's approval because universal energy loves you completely. Yes, you can be anything and we will still love you, beloved. So once you know that, it becomes safe for you to be yourself and trust in how people respond to you. Does that make sense to you, Goldie?
Oh, my God, exquisitely. Exquisitely.
So really, we're giving tools here on how to return energy back, connect with the heart, open to the heart, and really connect with universal energy. Feel it, allow it in, and you will find that you have much more trust in being vulnerable. Good.
Because isn't the ultimate trust in self? It's all, you're welcome, Gayla. This is about, you know, when people say to me, how do you trust dating on the Internet? And I'm like, dating on the Internet or dating through a bar, ultimately what I trust is if my gut feeling tells me this person's, you know, quote-unquote friendly, then I can meet them. If this person doesn't feel right, I would feel that feeling no matter where I was meeting them from.
And most people are asking the question, do they like me? And that question is a really big indicator of, do you like yourself?
Oh, interesting.
If you're always questioning, does that person like me? How did I come across in my first introduction with someone? Do you think that group liked me? Was I accepted?
Right.
That is usually signs that you really do not like yourself. And we must really look at that. And it's a hard thing to admit. No, Sophia, I don't like myself. And I say to anyone who is ready to look at that, good for you. I honor that statement of, no, I don't like myself. Because once you can say it, once you can feel it, then you can ask why. And then you can start diving into the pieces that have caused you pain. That when you have greater truth, a bigger understanding of it, it will no longer cause you pain. Most of the times people don't like themselves because they haven't tapped into the higher truth of why a scenario, a person, something that has hurt you. You don't understand the bigger picture, the bigger purpose of it. And the moment you understand the purpose of it, you say, ah, wow, man, I don't think I actually did anything wrong. That was a life lesson of mine. And most of the things in our lives are just life lessons.
Absolutely. Because doesn't pain serve a great purpose from the soul's perspective?
Yes, pain gets your attention.
Very much so.
To embrace a side of yourself that you're afraid of, yes? Pain says, hello, I want you to see me now and accept that side of yourself. And really the whole point of coming here is to accept all sides, to be able to look at the light and the dark and to say that those are all human experiences. We have come here to forget who we are, to step into dark places so that we can remember that we're light, so that no one judges you at the end of the day. No one judges you at the end of your life. There is no such thing, by the way, of the end of your life. There is a transition to another life. But let us say there is no one that says this thing is wrong. It is just, did it feel good? Yes? And you would be surprised that after you leave this planet, most of you say, oh, wow, to those painful experiences. Not that they felt good, but wow, what a journey that was, right? When we watch a movie and we see characters going through personal pain, at the end they succeed and we say, yay, right?
Absolutely. And if we could wake up to that before we transition, it would literally change our experience in this dimension.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And a lot of the trick is to say hello to pain, to look at it instead of look away from it, to
Absolutely.
Face it, to yes. embrace it, to dialogue with it.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Because I think when you take the fear out of it and the power out of pain, pain becomes, you know, almost like the tools that, you know, the people use to carve the stone into the great masterpiece. You know, it chips away at all the dross. It gets away the stuff that's not godlike and leaves nothing but the goddess part of us.
Exactly. Pain becomes your friend. It becomes a signal of you're not paying attention, and you get all excited. Oh, what am I not paying attention to? Okay, I'm missing out on something. Show me pain. What am I missing right now?
Oh, wow.
Pain becomes your friend and becomes a signal to pay attention.
You rock. This is on archives, everybody. I'm going to, trust me, I'm going to send my friends to the show when they're unconsciously in their pain. Myself as well, because that's exactly right. Pain is just the nudge that says wake up and take notice.
There's something going on that you're not paying attention to, that your highest good would love you to see, acknowledge. Good.
Absolutely. Now, Trish, did you had a question? If you want to come on and ask Sophia a question, that's great.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
I do have a question.
Okay.
My question is, I am surrounded by animals in my life. I am very drawn to a lot of animals. I own several dogs, some horses, and some other things. I'm just wondering if you can give me an insight as to why I am so drawn to those animals.
Good, beloved. Thank you. What a beautiful question. Very pertinent to many people right now. So I say to you, any time we have an animal connection, it is truly, again, as Goldie started to speak about, it is the lower realms. It is working with earth animal frequency, and it is begin to open up communication. So you are around animals because you are a healer. So I know this may be a big thing for you right now, but you are a healer in that you have a gentle spirit. So animals are very attuned to frequencies. So animals, if someone is angry, they are going to feel it vibrate. It is like the air lights up. So that animals are going to be drawn to those that have a soft way of being. And that softness allows the animals to share their world with you. For animals sense and feel things a little bit differently than humans, and that they have a lot of information to share with humans. It's just most times humans are not paying attention. So I say to you, sister, that you are a healing frequency around those animals. They love being in your presence because they feel loved, supported, seen, and they have information to give to you. Now, at first, when people hear this, they get all concerned with figuring out the messages. And I say to you, the first place to start is just to open up. These animals want to share with me. There is a dialogue, an exchange of energy, an exchange of information, and I trust it will unfold in a different way than regular communication, because we want it to be in words, and animals do not communicate in words. They communicate in sensation, they communicate in sound, they communicate in movement, how they are moving. So really I'm going to ask you to let go of what does it all mean and allow yourself to observe and let the information unfold. So feel those messages and feel if it resonates with you. And if so, I ask you to look up the book Animals Speak and begin to really connect with that book, for it is going to share with you some of the messages of animals, and it's going to help you develop your dialogue skills with the animal realms. So good luck, my beloved. We are all excited for you, and the world could really utilize more people that are speaking real gently that animals are beyond our friends. They are companions that communicate and want to assist us and share in lives with us. Share, and because we are really always crossing paths with animals, because they are giving us signs. They are part of our signposts, which are helping us walk more connected to the earth. Animals are usually on their fours, they are connected to the ground, so they help us in actual manifestation. Because to manifest, you have to have your feet firmly planted on the ground, and you must take those upper information, those realms, and bring it down to the earthly realm. So animals help us manifest. How exciting.
Wow, beautiful answer. And Trish says thank you very much. She thought the info was wonderful.
Good.
Yeah.
The book is very powerful. It is a man who has been studying and surrounded by animals for a long time, and I recommend it to anyone that you will start to really chuckle when you start to see, even if you live in the city, you would be surprised how many crows, how a raccoon even might cross your path. You would be surprised, animals, insects, how many times they actually cross your path if you just pay attention.
Oh, absolutely. And even you know, figures, like I have seen foxes on the sides of large trucks, and I will definitely take that still as a sign of the fox, even though it's just a picture on the side of a, you know, a 18-wheeler.
Yes, exactly. For let us say we get messages in all different ways, so that the book is lovely to go home and look up fox energy, as well as you can just start saying, what is the metaphor of the fox? You can just do it on your own, but it's really fun to be with those that have spent their lives observing animals and communicating with them.
Absolutely, absolutely, because I really believe that their mission is to help us to get to our mission.
Exactly, and that crossing, let's say, on the truck sign is also part of your soul speaking, getting your attention, for if you spend time with fox energy, it's going to tell you what sly things are going on around you right now. Fox tends to be sly, right?
That's very true, and that is happening.
About that, and all of a sudden we say, okay, what's going on around me that I could be paying attention to? That's also your soul speaking to you, asking you to pay attention.
Indeed, indeed. Okay, if anybody else would like to ask questions, we have 15 more minutes. Please call in. You can ask a question on the might it be used? People would remember this. Oh, okay. If you have questions, chat room me the questions. If not, I'm going to keep talking to Sophia. So the ascension process. What could you share? I mean, I realize that's a huge topic. What are some of the, it's important to understand, like the symptoms, the ascension symptoms. So instead of, you know, rushing to get a prescription or an MRI, wait a minute, we have a question from, I'd rather answer the people from the chat room. I don't mean to be a little schizophrenic. Okay, Steve from Colorado is asking, what if our mission is to help them accomplish their mission? In other words, the animal.
All right. So we're talking about an animal here. So
correct.
An animal. So let us say that an animal is always going to have a pretty clear understanding that most times we do not need help, per se. We need collaboration.
Hmm.
Yes? So help implies that they can't do it on their own, right?
Right.
Collaboration implies that they enjoy joining forces with another and allowing energies to merge. So instead of thinking an animal needs your help, an animal is asking for your collaboration. An animal is asking to be present with you, yes, and for you to unfold your greatest truth together. So again, we're not here to help others. We are here to reflect our truth, to join in collaborations, to join in reflection parties, and for us to all realize that we have everything we need within to unfold our highest truth. So do animals, so do trees. Yes, animals are not concerned, am I living my life purpose? So when we think that, then we are imposing our human frequencies on our animals. We are imposing our human thoughts on our animals. Animals might have a purpose that's ingrained in their system that there is no doubt, for it is not the same frequency of the mind going back and forth, if that makes sense.
That makes total sense. That makes total sense. Because isn't it the same thing we've done with our old version of God? We've put human frequencies and human tendencies into this energy and consciousness, and that's how we all came up with, you know, the whole God being jealous or God being judgmental, when God is a neutral consciousness.
Yes.
You know,
does not want a thing for anyone. God desires you to be exactly who you want to be in any one moment. So whatever you are being today, God says, grand, I love that you are being that, no matter what it is. God is excited for you to be whatever you choose. So all of those, all of those ideas about God wanting or needing something from you is a very human perspective.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, Goldie, Zach wants to know about his ability to talk to animals and what Sophia sees for him. Zach is Trisha's 12-year-old son.
Ah, good, good. So children are naturally going to be able to connect with animals a little bit easier, and especially, let us say, 12-year-olds are in a very sacred time in their life, for there are going to be a lot of changes going on in a 12-year-old's life that surrounding them by animals who embrace change. So let's say the wind shifts, they move into another direction, that they are all about whatever is happening in their environment and adjusting to change. So I say to you that bringing your son around animals and allowing him to interact with them in whatever way he desires, and trusting that children are going to have a natural way of communicating that we don't have to figure out. We don't have to teach them. We don't have to help them. Children, when we give them the opportunity to be around the things that they're interested in, they begin to teach themselves. They begin to bring forth the wisdom that is already there. So I say to you, my friend, just allow your child to be around animals and trust that the animals have a lot of energy to give to him about the change that is coming. For 12-year-old energy is really all about upcoming change. Everything changes quickly, and animals really can facilitate during those change times.
That was beautiful. Indeed. Okay, I'm looking at the chat room. It doesn't look like there's a question.
So let me finish on that. A lot of times as parents, we want to teach our children versus allow our children to be in the presence of whatever information they are interested in. Allow them to surround themselves in the information and watch them unfold right in front of you. You would be surprised that children have a lot to teach us. And we are always so concerned with teaching them that we forget that they are great teachers themselves.
I just did an hour segment before you came on the show with a woman that I absolutely. I think there's such a wisdom if we could just, as adults and or parents, get out of our own way and see them for the wise teachers they are. Our lives as adults would improve tremendously.
Yes, here's the key phrase, yes, with your child, that I have wisdom to offer to you and you have wisdom to offer to me. So we're going to pay attention to what wisdom we have to give to one another.
Yes.
And if you actually say that to a child, you have wisdom that you have to give to me. I am just open and ready. I have wisdom to share with you. You have wisdom to share with me. You would be very surprised that a child's mouth might drop open and say, I have wisdom, really. It allows them to claim their own power.
Yes. But, I mean, you can even say it to a newborn. I've been known to say it to newborns because it does not have to come out verbally. It's energy.
Exactly. We can say it in our mind's eye. We can say it out loud. We can say, you have something to teach me. You have something to give to me. And I am excited to share in all that you are awakening, all that you are learning. I'm excited to hear all about it.
Absolutely. Because wouldn't this be very much about, you know, the masculine gives and the feminine receives? This would be a balance in our own energy that we would be coming into androgyny, where we are both masculine and feminine.
Yes, we are blending the two. And really, we are going to start, many people see the elders in the community as the ones with wisdom. And we are going to start to really, during this ascension process, during this paradigm shift, during this awakening of the planet, we are going to start to see the little ones holding a lot of the wisdom.
Exactly.
So again, we're balancing out. It is not just the elders. Respect your elders. Eventually, you're going to hear, respect the young ones, because you're going to be surprised by the awakened ones that are very young. You're going to see more and more young ones starting to speak out that they are here for a purpose. They are here to teach. They are here to share with others some of the greater truths that they remember.
Absolutely. They're like wired for the new consciousness.
Yes. Just recently I was sharing a story where a 12-year-old ran up to an 18-year-old and gave him a big hug, and the mother of the 18-year-old looked down and says, do you know this little girl? And he smiled and says, not from this. He says, no, I don't know this little girl. And the little girl looked up and says, but I know you from another lifetime. Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's awesome.
So you're going to see more and more of that, and we are going to start to look to our young ones and say, yes, what is it that you are here to share with us?
Absolutely. Because I also believe that they're connecting in the dream time. In the dreamscape, they're literally creating a web of connectedness that they remember when they're awake.
We are all doing that, but children are not so consumed with the bills, all the other
right.
things of life, where they can let them come forward. Most of us don't give the space for our dreams to bring forward the messages. The places we go to at night, we receive higher wisdom. It's allowing yourself to have a place, time, a space where you can allow that unconscious to come to the consciousness, to come forward.
Indeed, indeed. All right, one other quick question, and then unfortunately our hour is going to be done. I'm very curious about, I go to a place called a Celtic chamber. This one in particular called the womb. I'm just wondering if you can share with me any wisdom about this energy, from where it generates from. Is it galactic? Is it Earth? It's an incredibly powerful spot in Kent, New York.
Very exciting. So the womb energy is about womb. It is about center of the earth, or the actual womb that we started in. It is about a dark energy. So let's think of the womb. There is no light in the womb. We are in a contained, held, dark, safe energy. So it opens us up to, people perceive dark as negative or bad. When you start to understand womb energy, you see that darkness can be supportive, that can be healing, that can be containing, that can hold us. So what you're doing is really opening yourself to earth energy and feeling the healing power in, again, the lower realms. This is about the lower realms.
That is exquisite. Another quick question? Do you think we can do another quick one?
Yes, sure.
Okay, from Steve, isn't ascension really just expanding our awareness to what has always been there?
Yes. An ascension is a form of going from one frequency, let's say the third dimensional frequency, to the fourth. So the fourth has always existed, as does the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth. They all exist right now. It is just opening your attention to it. It is changing how this entire planet views reality. So all realities exist right now, for truly there is no such thing as time. Everything exists right here and now. So that, yes, ascension is awakening to something that is already there, that is beckoning us, that is calling to us to unfold another perspective. So the fourth dimensional frequency is a little bit different than the third, and we are going to have a grand old time in acclimating how we view reality.
And the fourth dimension, is that not time? Isn't time the fourth dimension?
There is a lot of energy about time in there. It is just a higher frequency that looks at physicality different,
okay.
Where physicality is not so solid.
Okay.
Yes?
And
that time expands a bit more. You don't have the same strictness of time that you have here. You have a more loose version of time.
Right, right. All right, we are almost out of time.
Can I remind people of how to get in contact with us?
Of course, Sophia, several times if it makes you feel wonderful, of course.
Yes, but I always promise the channel that I will mention our website, ChristinaSophia.com, and that I really encourage people to connect, to come forward, and to allow yourself to share in your own wisdom. It is Christina with a K, Sophia with a PH, and I have done my earthly duties by the channel to give the information on where to connect with us. So I suggest everyone checks it out. Yeah?
Oh, absolutely. Check out Christina's site. Christina, Sophia, the two of them are just exquisite, exquisite beings. And I'm honored and privileged to have made both of your acquaintances and can call both of you friend. Thank you so much for being here tonight, Sophia.
Thank you, beloved. I honor you. Thank you, my friend.
Namaste.
Namaste. Hello?
Hello?
I was forced back quickly. I'm looking at time, so.
Yeah, no. And to be honest, the show will stop streaming, but it will, as an archive, continue as long as we continue. So
okay.
Don't feel rushed. It's everybody in the chat room had a great time in the show.
Great. Thank you so much.
Oh, exquisite. Christina, do you feel the hug? I just absolutely adore you, your husband, and Sophia. I love you guys.
Oh, thank you so much. We love sharing with you. You're so much fun, so thank you.
It is my pleasure. And just so you know, everybody out there, Christina will be on again. She is one of my frequent guests, so check back. She'll definitely be back again. Thank you, everybody, for connecting and interacting and sharing your energy with the show, because without you guys, I don't have a show. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Everybody, have an amazing night. Bye.